Cricket tonight.
Welcome back, everybody. We are back for season four of Cricket Tonight. I am your new host. My name's Amit, and this is Pralab Gupta here.
Hi, how are you? I've been dropped from the host chair. I mean, Ami, you've been away for 2 years, and suddenly you come back. Do you think you're Rohit Sharma?
Yes, exactly. I was informed before I left, so, you know, I'll take my place back. And of course, we have Gov here as well.
Yeah, I want to say I'm even more excited about the new theme song than I am about this actual season. You know, I was a big fan of the last theme song, but this one, it's really inspiring me.
It's good to hear. See, it's funny because we're on radio at the moment on the podcast, and you can see Gov's face and he's got a deadpan expression. But in reality, it's got this smirk behind his expression going, I really don't agree with what I just said. But welcome, everyone. Very excited to be back.
Yeah, so firstly, thanks to everybody for the support we had last season. It was a great season. We had a lot of good numbers and we had a lot of excitement for the podcast. So we're looking to carry that forward now.
I think we're officially the number one rated cricket podcast in the world. Not much competition yet, but you know, we're going to continue to expand this podcast out, and we hope that you know you can take us along. You can come along on the journey with us.
Definitely, and feel free to send an email to us, cricket.tonight6@gmail.com. That's six the numeral. Not the long version of that. So please send us an email. Let us know what your thoughts are, different segments you want to hear, thoughts, expressions. Keen to bring you along, as Gov said, on the same journey together for this amazing cricket podcast series.
Yeah, so I guess we'll start off. A lot has happened since the last podcast we had. And, you know, been a lot of news around Indian cricket, been a lot of news around cricket in general. So,
I mean, can you start off by, are we all over the Champions Trophy final loss? Is that done? Do we talk about that? Or is that one of those things we don't talk about?
I still have flashbacks. I have PTSD. Every now and then I have like a flashback to that final. And I try to block it out of my memory. But I hope the Indian selectors don't forget what happened in that series. Because if we keep making the same mistakes by putting in the old players, we're going to have similar results.
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's a good thing we took a break because I don't think either of us, none of us are ready for a podcast after that devastating loss. But let's start off with India West Indies. We had sort of a strange kind of series between India and West Indies, which was scheduled straight after the Champions Trophy. India ended up winning the series 3-1 in the ODIs, and they lost the only T20. Exceptional performances from Ajinkya Rahane, Virat Kohli played well, Kuldeep Yadav was a star. And Pralab, what was your take?
Well, you started off with it well. It was a strange series. I don't think it had a place in it. And when you think about a series which has no purpose behind it, it would have been an ideal opportunity to blood some new players. And this series, unfortunately, the newer players didn't get much of an opportunity. Rishabh Pant didn't play the ODI series. He played in the only T20. And some of the older players played for the entirety of that series. So, look, it was good that India got the job done. Ajinkya Rahane, to be honest, I'm not a big fan of him in ODI cricket. He proved me wrong, but that still doesn't mean that I think he's the right player for that role. I think Lokesh Rahl, as soon as he's back, should be in the team. And unfortunately, Ajinkya Rahane, for me, he's just not good enough. Gov, do you think Ajinkya Rahane should be in India's long-term ODI plans?
This is pretty unusual, but we actually agree on this topic exactly on all your points. So I'm just going to repeat you. As I was saying in my comment at the start of this episode, I hope India don't forget what happened in that Champions Trophy final and keep selecting the same old players. But it looks like they haven't learned from that mistake. This was an opportunity to bring in some of the young guys and give them four or five ODIs in foreign conditions, and it just didn't happen. I think Rishabh Pant, he's going to be a fixture in the side after Dhoni leaves, which sort of brings up the issue about Dhoni, whether he should be in the team moving forward for the next World Cup. I think Pant is ready. He had a great domestic season. He had a solid IPL. Kuldeep Yadav is a perfect example of how good the Indian youngsters can be if given the opportunity. Other guys like Mukund, I know he's not exactly young, but I think he should have a place in the one day team as well. And I do understand as well that this ODI squad was actually picked before the end of the Champions Trophy, from what I understand. So I partly forgive them, but just based on past behavior from the Indian selectors, I expect the exact same team with the Yuvrajas and the Shikhar Dhawans and the Rahanes back in the squad again, which really, really annoys me.
Yeah, look, we had a good performance from Ajinkya Rahane, good performances from Dinesh Karthik. Two of Gold's favorites right there. Look, I'd probably disagree with you guys with Ajinkya Rane, because I'm a big believer of players that do take their chances. And he's a player that sort of was given the chance, and he really took it. He became the man of the series.
Is there a timeline on that? I mean, how long do you have to wait to take your chances?
Well, I mean, he's been around for a long time, yes. And I guess one thing is there's a lot of potential behind him, and that's why we sort of want him in the team. Look, I'm not saying that he should be the frontline opener, but I think he did a good thing by taking his chances.
He's had a lot of opportunities. I remember we had a similar conversation about this before the last World Cup.
Yeah, we did.
And I was saying that, look, his record is not good. He's been in and out of the team for a long time. But at the end of the day, you know, he's been picked for the World Cup. He had a very average World Cup. He was the worst Indian batsman. He goes out of the squad. He keeps coming back. It's a very sort of recurring theme we see in Indian cricket, where they're not really willing to give repeated opportunities to youngsters, but they keep going with the same old players. And I'm a little bit disappointed. What do you think about that, Prol? I mean, I know we agree on this topic, but is there a certain player that you really wanted to see in this series that you didn't see?
Yeah, look, for me, it was just the opportunities. Like Shreyas Iyer, for example, would have been great to see him start to form as part of the Indian cricket team. And really, it comes to that decision point. The Champions Trophy is done and dusted. The next tournament that we need to focus on is the 2019 World Cup. And you need to make some key decisions for that. Now, in all honesty, I think given the scenario with India losing and some of the coaching that I'm sure we'll get into, the BCCI probably didn't want to make any hard calls for this specific series. So hence why nothing as much has happened. But what I'm really interested in is the next series that we go ahead beyond this, which is probably the Sri Lanka series that I'm sure we'll talk about. What's the squad that's selected? Do we look at Yuvraj Singh? I don't think he should be in the team. MS Dhoni, he failed in one of the games in the West Indies, couldn't chase down a total. There's probably a question and you need to really sit down with him and understand whether you can make it to the next World Cup or not. And then some of the bowlers like Ravi Ashwin, Ravi Jadeja. Jadeja, I think, still has a place. Ravi Ashwin, for me, I think Kuldeep's superseded him at the moment, in ODI specifically, and he should come into the team. But it's time to start experimenting and building that team to win the 2019 World Cup, not just to continuously win out 3-1 victories. Because I'll be honest, the West Indian team's good. They're a decent team. But in all honesty, a lot of our second team could have probably been in that side as well.
I think India's pace bowling ranks, as we talked about in the Champions Trophy, is actually quite solid and probably the best pace bowling attack they've had in years, if not decades. The spin options are quite good as well. I would like India to come up with a good fourth option. Right now they have Ashwin, Jadeja and Kuldeep. If they could find a fourth guy to sort of come in and sort of replace Ashwin as he sort of declines in the second half of his career, that would be great.
Yeah, look, it was a strange series as I mentioned, and I probably agree. I don't know why sort of someone like Dinesh Karthik's still in the team. We've talked about him extensively on this podcast, but I don't know what more to say about him. But one good thing was we saw Kuldeep Yadav, and he was somebody that he was probably the pick of the bowlers for me. He was very hard to pick. He was bowling really great, and he showed whenever he came on, the West Indian batsmen just couldn't face him. So that's one positive we can take out of this, and I guess that's something we can look forward to because he will be part of the team in the next World Cup.
So, yeah, look, I agree, and Kuldeep Yadav had a really good ODI series. The T20, though, he did get absolutely smashed. But it just goes, you need to back him in. He's a young player. He's played a few games there. And the West Indies, it's very different. We talk about this. The ODI team is actually quite average. Although, recently we've heard that they've brokered a truce with the key players. So that the expectation is, as they look to qualify for the 2019 World Cup, all their key players will come back, which is great news for West Indies cricket. But the T20 unit is, they're the world champions. They're an all-star side, and they've naturally performed really well. And the West Indies team is the benchmark when it comes to T20 cricket.
It would be good to see a couple more games in that T20 part of the series. Having just a one-off game is almost like an exhibition match. I don't see the point of that. West Indies are, in my opinion, one of the best T20 teams in the world, if not the best. And it would have been good to sort of see them have the opportunity to sweep India, which they could have done, in my opinion.
Yeah, so while the West Indies series was going on, there was probably a bigger issue, which was talked about even more than the West Indies series, and that's got nothing to do with the players on the field, or the player on the field, should I say, and that's the Indian coaching dilemma, which was a huge story.
Was I selected?
I think you just missed out to Mr. Ravi Shastri. But
I think, unfortunately. I mean, my two-line CV, which beat Sehwag, surely that wasn't considered.
I would have preferred Prahlad to most of those candidates, which is a bad sign.
I would have definitely picked Prahlad. it was a very ugly fallout between Kumble and Virat Kohli and the team. Then there was a long procedure between who next to pick, and in the end it was Ravi Shastri, who I don't think any of us were really that excited about. Because we see him more as somebody that's, you know...
cheerleader?
Yeah, exactly. Took the words out of my mouth. he's going to be supporting Coley and everything he does. And I don't know if he's the best person to have in this situation, but I'll give it to you guys. What do you guys think about Ravi Shastri and who else could have been chosen?
I think there's two sort of big issues here. One is it's obvious that Coley is exerting more and more power in all aspects of the team, which is fine because he's a captain, but I don't like him having too much of a say on who the coach is. Sometimes a coach can come in and have different ideas of the way the Indian team should be run, and just because Coley's a captain, he should be able to say, no, I don't like that, this coach should go. In that case, Coley should be captain and coach then. I don't know why they even have a captain, why they have a coach. The second issue is about bringing Ravi Shastri back in. For me, it sort of links back to what we were saying before about India keep having this thing where they keep bringing players back. They drop them because they don't like them. And then after a year, they forget why they didn't like them and bring it back in. Look back at the three times why you dropped Shikhar Dhawan in the test team. And look at why you dropped him in the first place before why you picked him back. And the same thing with Shastri. You know, he was a cheerleader. He didn't really add too much to the team, in my opinion. Even though India had a good test record during when he was coaching, there was a good reason why he was dropped. And... you know, you want a coach that adds value to the team, and I'm not sure if Shastri's that guy.
Yeah, look, I agree to an extent, but I also do disagree to an extent. So I did say Shastri is a cheerleader, and I do agree with that. I think you need someone who challenges the captain and questions them, and that's the number one area I think you'll struggle with. And probably Kumble maybe took it too far, but there were a few issues with this appointment. The first is Anil Kumble and Virat Kohli never actually spoke about this. So the way this whole thing disintegrated, an absolute champion of the game, Anil Kumble, Virat Kohli, an amazing player, the fact that they didn't get along from a coaching perspective is an issue in itself. And the question needs to be asked to Sourav Ganguly, Vivius Lakshman, Sachin Tendulkar on this whole fiasco of the coaching appointment, because they appointed Ravi Shastri. They then decided saying Rahul Javid's an overseas batting consultant, and they also named Zahir Khan as a bowling consultant. And that, it probably exceeded their authority, and a day or two later, the BCCI said, no, the Ravi Shastri will have a say in their support staff, and he ended up picking his own support staff. But back to Ravi Shastri, I actually did think he did a good job for India back in the time. We think about his record, got India through to the semi-finals of the ICC World Cup, which is a big achievement, the T20 semi-final again, got India through to an important away series victory in Sri Lanka, got him to the number one test ranking. So it's not to say that he hasn't achieved anything. And it sounds like him and the entire unit dressing room as a whole got along really well. But at the same time, you'd like people who are going to challenge Kohli. And for me, it comes down to this. It's now Kohli's team. Ravi Shastri said as much. And Virat Kohli is now accountable for this team as a whole. And the question will be asked, if India do not lift that World Cup trophy or at least do very well in that tournament, he should be axed as a captain of the cricket team.
I think there's a lot of parallels between the Indian coaching selection and the US presidential campaign of last year, because all the candidates that you want to run didn't run. And we're not going to pull the candidates. Like, why is Sehwag going to be the coach of the team?
That was he wasn't even... interesting joke.
He wasn't a captain. I'm not equating Ravi Shastri to Donald Trump. Let's put it out there. But what I'm trying to say is there's so many guys like Rahul Dravid. I love Rahul Dravid. He's a great leader. I think he would mesh really well with Virat Kohli.
But he doesn't want it. So he's already said himself he doesn't want to go on any overseas tour because he wants to spend time with his family. So he has to also want the role as well.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's unfortunate the guys that don't want to coach the team would be the best for them. We're left with candidates like Ravi Shastri and Sehwag. Even guys like Lakshman or Ganguly. I would love it if one of these guys would step up and not just be selectors behind the scenes, but actually try to lead this team towards a World Cup victory in 2 years.
Yeah, look, the way it happened was really bad because, as you said, Pralab, Anil Kumble was sort of one of the champions of the game. And he's very highly respected, really highly regarded, and he showed that he had a great cricket brain, and he took the Indian team to very successful summer. His record is almost perfect. He didn't do much wrong, He took India, he did well in the Champions Trophy, he didn't make any mistakes. So, it's one thing to sort of leave, but then, he sort of left all of a sudden, and then it was very ugly the way it happened. That doesn't look good for the next coach coming in, of course, because now, Kohli's sort of shown his authority in the locker and he sort of, made it clear that this is sort of my team. And I haven't seen it before from any other captain from India, because there have been a lot of disputes between Indian teams and...
Well, Ganguly, Chappell was a bit of one. I'm sure Ganguly would have been well versed on that. But you are right, it hasn't...
Yeah, but Chappell was there for a long time.
But the important thing to note, though, is whilst Kohli was the front runner, and I think he was a pivotal person in this whole decision-making process... the sounds like the dressing room also had it against Anil Kumble. So it wasn't purely a case of Cawley. It's looks like Anil Kumble may have lost the entire dressing room, or at least a substantial proportion of that.
You know, who I think would be a great coach once he retires would be Dhoni. Dhoni and Cawley have a great working relationship.
Yeah.
I think Dhoni's personality meshes well with Cawley as well. That could be an option for Dhoni. More because I want to see Dhoni retire more than anything else.
A little controversial, but it's interesting because Ravi Shastri said that he's comfortable with some of the older players playing in the team, and I tell you, I'm not sold on Dhoni yet, but Yuvraj Singh for me is done and dusted.
Yeah.
Time to move on from him. But one of the important things that came out of this, in parallel to the Indian coaching situation, there's been a lot of reforms going on with a Supreme Court challenge to the BCCI and a lot of that focus, which is still happening at the moment. But one of the key pieces that came out of it is no longer have ensuring people have conflict of interest. So as an example, Rahul Dravid was as a mentor for one of the IPL team. That's now been dropped off. So in effect, if you're coaching the Indian cricket team, that's all you can do. You can't go out there and be a consultant out there for other areas. And I think that's a really important move because you have all these parallel views, not to suggest that anyone's done anything wrong, but it makes everything very, very clear. The focus of your time and attention is purely the Indian cricket team and not other parts of it. And another suggestion of, you know, Sachin Tendulkar becoming a consultant, and you know that also needs to be looked at because he's involved in Mumbai Indians.
Yeah.
Would you want him involved or not? But I'm glad the court's made a firm decision and the BCCI has followed that as well, and that'll be good for the game overall.
Yeah, it's a big topic and it dominated the headlines for a long time. So we'll move on now to I guess some success on the field. India has made it to the finals of the Women's World Cup. We saw a great performance from Harmanpreet Kaur. Absolute dominant performance and some of the best hitting I've seen in a very long time, in a semi-final especially. She basically single-handedly carried India through to that the final now, which will happen actually today. So that was a great inning. She made 171 in a rain-shortened game, and India won the game there.
She could have taken the entire record, right? So you mentioned rain-shortened, 42 overs. If she batted for another 8 overs, there's no reason why she couldn't have crossed the 200 mark. And that will go down as honestly the best innings ever in a World Cup final in terms of a semi-final in history. And I think it's on par with some of the innings we talk about, Indians like MS Dhoni, Gambhir in the final. That inning is on par with that. It's just been spectacular hitting where India was. They were probably looking at a subpar total. Australia ended up losing by 30 runs. To go in there and make such a dominant performance is amazing signs, and I hope it's repeated in the final later today.
I want to be totally upfront with our listeners. I haven't really paid too much attention to women's cricket in the past, but I have watched almost every single game of this World Cup.
But
so
women
far.
Don't pay much attention to you at the moment. Wow. As well. So, it was a bit harsh.
That's why I'm changing my behaviour, so hopefully they'll change theirs as well.
I know you've got a few on the fly, that's fine.
We watched most of the games this World Cup, and it's been a really competitive World Cup. The quality of the play was much better than, you know, I thought it would be. I was pleasantly surprised. Harmanpreet Kaur's innings against Australia in the semi-final was historic. And there was no doubt in my mind she would have made a double century if she had gotten more balls. And I've also been impressed by Sarah Taylor's performance. That was a very interesting semi-final win against the chokers, South Africa. I mean, seems like that's across women's and men's cricket. So that was interesting to see. And I'm very excited for the final.
Yeah, what are you guys, what are your predictions for the final here?
Yeah, look, first of all, I think the final as a whole, it's been an amazing tournament. The number of sponsors, the viewers watching this, the fact that the final is going to be, it's sold out at Lord's, and you've got two amazing teams there, it's a great achievement, and I hope it flows on through to things like the BBL, additional tournaments overseas, and ultimately, women's IPL, like, this is the biggest opportunity. This could be a 1983 moment for the women's cricket team. If they can lift that trophy, it will trigger and inspire a whole range of people in India to pick up the sport from a female perspective, where it's actually really underrepresented. Australia, England, South Africa are leaders when it comes to women's cricket versus India isn't. And India's tournament's been really good. They started off by defeating England, the team they're facing in the final in the opening game. Mithali Raj, their captain, it's her last tournament. She's a leading run scorer in women's history, one of the best players. They then went through a patch where they were looking like they're on track to make it to the semis and then lost a few close games. And then they've kick-started things. So for me, it's a case of, I think India will win this game. That's my prediction for this tournament. I think the weight of history behind them, just the fact that they can win this will be amazing. The opener's got a bit of an issue. Like Mandana, she started off with 100, but then dropped off, has failed pretty much every game since. So if she can score a few runs. But you look at that middle order, it bats deep. Bowling's great. Yadav and there's Sharma in there as well. There always seems to be Sharma around the Indian cricket team. But there was an amazing ball that was bowled to the Australian opener or to their captain, which was just a seeming delivery that took out off stump, which was one of the balls of the whole year that I've seen, and male or female across the board. So I'm going for India. England, they'll want to win it in front of their home fans. They're the tournament favourites alongside Australia, and it'd be nice if they won it, but it'll be nice if the Indian cricket team lifted that trophy and did what the men's team couldn't do a few years ago.
I've been so impressed by Harmanpreet Kaur. I think as long as she's in a form like this, I think India's going to beat England. I think if she keeps playing like this, she could be selected into the men's side one day. Who knows? Maybe that's a little bit overstating it. But look...
And unnecessary, I think, because the women's sport itself, it's a pinnacle of the game, and it's been a great tournament. It doesn't necessarily need to be.
But it brings up the whole debate about John McEnroe and Serena Williams, which we'll talk about next podcast. No, but I've just been really impressed by her. As long as she's in a form that she's been displaying the last couple of games, England have no chance, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd probably predict India as well. They've come together well as a team. And, it'll be a great... I'm really liking the atmospheres I'm seeing in women's cricket. That's really great to see. We're not seeing empty stadiums, and there's definitely a lot of interest for the game. So let's hope it continues.
India.
Yeah, go India. I guess we'll... before we sort of go into the India or Sri Lanka big sort of test series and ODI series we're going to go through, we'll just quickly touch on some more points which sort of talk about cricket around the globe. Let's start off with the England...
I like it. Can we make that a segment? Around the globe?
Around the globe, yeah, okay.
We should get a theme song for that as well.
I think round and round and red.
Yeah, exactly. We have the Daft Punk electronic song.
We had to get the copyright on that one.
Yeah, exactly. Let's reach out to them.
I hope, God, we're not following Rishi Dhawan around the globe, because just from Mysore through to India to the various parts of India.
Oh, God.
Wow. I have no comment.
Yeah, no comment on that one. Okay, let's start off with England vs South Africa. This has been a pretty interesting series. 1-1 right now. Moeen Ali was a superstar in the first game, believe it or not. He took 10 wickets. I've seen Moeen Ali bowl, and I don't know how Moeen Ali gets 10 wickets.
He did well against India. Like, I don't understand how he does it. I mean, you look at his bowling, he's consistent, he's a decent batsman, decent fielder, but you wonder, how does a guy like him get 10 wickets in a test match?
He did very well against India, you said, and, he's a player that, he can fight with the bat and the ball, and I think he's a good middle-order option, and I think he's a star for England.
Yeah, Joe Root started off with a victory in his first match and then a thrashing in the second match. Faf du Plessis was not in the first game. He came back in the second game and he sort of helped them to get that leadership back together. What are your guys' thoughts on this sort of test series and how it's going so far?
I was really impressed by Philander in that second test when South Africa made that big comeback. Look, it's been an interesting series, quite a tight series, sort of a seesaw where it's sort of gone up and down, which makes it really unpredictable in the next test.
Yeah, look, for me it's interesting. You've got Teller two halves, and you made that point about Faf's leadership, and I think he is a big leader. The team plays above itself when Faf's there leading him, and I think there's a good question mark, which we discussed in the last podcast. Is AB de Villiers the right person to lead South Africa? Because I think Faf is the better leader out of the two of them, and it's his team now, his dressing room, and that results show it. From an England perspective, I think it was Michael Warne or Nasser Hussain, one of the two of them essentially said that the English cricket team was disrespecting Test cricket by the way they batted. They got shot out in 35 or 40 overs, and Root took it pretty personally on the back of that. But for me, it's 1-1. It's a fascinating series. The third Test match should be nice and exciting. And the English cricket team, they've probably got a few question marks in the batting lineup. They're reminding me a bit of Australia, in all honesty. They're very used to flat pitches. They struggle a lot as soon as the ball moves. So that pitch that they played the second match, the ball was moving around, seeming all over the place, a few rain delays here and there. So they really need to look at their technique and whether they're prioritising ODI and T20 cricket in terms of pitches. And then South Africa, Philander, Gov, you said it. Philander, not just with the ball, but also with the bat. He just adds a lot of value to the team as a whole. Yeah. Ball's around 125Ks, but he's just such a smart cricketer. He knows how to work out a batsman, and that's a dying art, unfortunately, in Test cricket. There aren't any bowlers out there who know how to work out a batsman and build up a plan over 4 or 5 overs and then take him out on the back of that.
I think South Africa is sort of in a crossroads right now. Well, they have two players that are maybe top 10 players of all time for them, Steyn and ABD, who they haven't retired from Test cricket yet. They're sort of still active, but not really playing very often. What's your thoughts, Army, on ABD? I mean, there'll be some talks about him possibly retiring. Is it the right time?
Yeah, look, ABD's been in the news for a lot of wrong reasons, it seems.
Is it ABD, by the way? I thought it was ABDV. We're just dropping a letter. It's just modern generation today where we just continuously shorten things down.
Just shortening things down even more now.
A, let's call him A.
Yeah, so AB. He's been in the news for the wrong reasons, and it's unfortunate because we've all seen his potential. We've all seen what he can do. But I think the truth is his body cannot play all three formats, I don't think. And he has shown that if he does have a flaw, it's in his leadership abilities. That's what sort of Paul's mentioned before, and I probably do agree with that. I do like Faf as a leader. He has come across as a really good leader. It just shows very dramatically when he comes back for a test match and they win the game. He's definitely having some influence. Yeah. So
we should actually call him ABC, always be choking. No.
Yeah. We do think you're a champion of the game. Feel free to write to us though if you have any comments. Cricket.tonight6@gmail.com.
I think I have the license to say that because I'm probably the biggest AB de Villiers fan out of the three of us. You know, I think he should keep playing test cricket. And I know Prahlad has a very opposite opinion on this, and he'll probably say that after this, but
yes,
he is, in my opinion, he's still the best batsman in South African cricket. And I think South Africa they've not really reached that number one ranking, so there's still something to prove in that front. He's not that old where he needs to go, look, I need to put test cricket aside and just focus on one day cricket. There's the argument about he should be putting all of his efforts on the next World Cup. But since he's not captaining it anyway, I think Faf should be focusing on the captaincy side. And ABDB should be focusing just on his batting. And if he just focuses on his batting, I'm sure he has enough energy to play ODIs and tests.
Yeah, for me, it goes back to ideal versus reality. Like in an ideal world, India would have won the Champions Trophy. In reality, we lost that game. And it's similar with AB de Villiers. In an ideal world, he'll be fit enough to play all formats. He'd be hungry enough to do it. But it's not as if South Africa is suddenly on the verge of becoming the number one team. They're ranked 7 or 8 at the moment. Anything he does in the next year and a half, and he's only got a year and a half left in his career, won't bring them up towards the number one mark. But I still think test cricket is the pinnacle. So there's, irrespective of that, there's an argument you can mount that he should play test cricket. However, it comes down to his fitness. The fact that he struggled so long, he's trying to pick and choose series, he's got a young family, it makes sense for him to move on and focus on what his dream is. And he's made this comment very, very clearly that his dream is to lift the World Cup trophy in 2019, and ideally as a captain, which is, that's the part I question. But that's his number one goal. And I'd say he should get rid of test cricket, just focus on ODI for the next 2 years, potentially keep playing T20 cricket. I think that format does well for him. And then wait till the 2020 T20 World Cup, and that's when he would eventually retire. Although, you could always ask that question. He does play a lot of IPL cricket. He does play a lot of T20 cricket. Would it make sense to drop some of that off instead of test cricket? In reality, again, ideally yes, but in reality, the money involved and how cricket works at the moment, it's too difficult to make that decision. So it's time for AB to retire. I hope that decision's made in the next month or two. They should have a new coach or confirm that Domingo will be extended by till the 2019 World Cup by then. And then it's all about, can they build a team? More can, I think, they change their DNA to your earlier point, Gav. Can they stop choking and be more less mentally fragile in a big tournament? Because they have the talent. They've always had the talent. They've had the talent since the first tournament they played.
It's about the culture and it's about the coaching. It's about the captaincy. I hope India can somehow get rid of Shastri and give him to South Africa and make him be their coach. I don't know. But look, yeah, it's a very deep-rooted problem for South Africa and they really need to deal with that before the next World Cup.
And it sounds like the women's team as well, Gav. How can they talk in the semi as well?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it looks summed up pretty well. I guess the next series we can talk about is Zimbabwe versus Sri Lanka, where Zimbabwe beat Sri Lanka at home.
Can you repeat that? We need more dramatic effect.
Zimbabwe have beaten Sri Lanka.
Wow. So
at home.
At home. So they won away. They beat Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka lost at home.
We need to keep repeating that like 5 more times.
Yeah, I keep repeating it.
If you know any Sri Lankans out there, make sure you message them.
Make sure you let them know about that one.
Yeah, exactly. Because
if you know any Zimbabweans, which I doubt, then you need to go out and tell them and start celebrating with them.
Yeah, look, it was a really impressive victory by Zimbabwe. They sort of, you know, they showed that they're not minnows. They're not a team that's below. And, you know, as well, Pakistan win the, you know, Champions Trophy. Then we have Ireland and Afghanistan getting test status, and then we have Zimbabwe beating Sri Lanka in ODI series and really should have won in the test match series. It's really showing well that, you know, these lower teams are really coming up the ranks now, and it's really great to see. They had some great performances from especially Sikandar Raza. He played phenomenally. They've got a good unit now together, Zimbabwe, that they've actually got some experience, and the same team's been playing for quite some time. I think that bodes well for a team. So yeah, that's really well done. What do you guys think about this series?
I think this one, my favorite Kramer, better than you're better than Kramer from Seinfeld.
These guys are true, they're both as erratic.
True leader, Solomon Mire as well, who he holds a special place in our hearts because he's actually an Australian as well. Yeah. You know, he's had a great series as well, and that test match. I don't want to say it's heartbreaking because I was just so impressed and proud of the Zimbabwean team that the fact that they even got close is a great sign for the future. And look, I'm not going to pretend like I know about the inner workings of the Zimbabwean cricket team, but something must have changed recently. There's been a sort of a shift in their mindset. And look, I hope this is not just a one-off series. I hope they can continue to perform like this. And if they can, they can challenge a lot of teams.
Yeah, I think something has changed. Like, I'm sure the coaching behind the scenes, that's been a lot better. But with the ICC reforms, Zimbabwe's now got a set of funding pool, so which means that they can afford to play their players more. And that's why there's conversations about Brendan Taylor and some of the other players who've left to county cricket might be coming back, because they can now start competing from a wages perspective to play for your national team. Because, you know, irrespective, that was really a financial decision that Brendan Taylor made, which was a big one. It was security for his family. But if Zimbabwe can go, we can provide you with equivalent terms. There's no reason why he can't be back and Zimbabwe can challenge as a team. Back to that test match, though. It was heartbreaking, but I actually think Zimbabwe should have won that match. The number of opportunities they had in that game, there was a unfortunate stumping call that was given not out when it was probably out, but their keeper dropped about four catches. For some stupid reason, the two spin bowlers bowled like 95% of the overs in the final innings when they didn't bring people on in chunks. And in all honesty, I think Zimbabwe lost that game compared to where it was, but credit to also to Sri Lanka, it was a record chase. They did it about 10, 15 years ago against Zimbabwe, where they had a record chase. They beat that around this time around. Dick Waller played really well, and some of their middle order did an amazing job, which is great for Sri Lanka. So let's Zimbabwe, great series. Sri Lanka as well, good series. And it bodes well for the India series coming up, that Sri Lanka can beat the mice of Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Some sarcasm there at the end.
I think we should talk a little bit more about Brendan Taylor. He was one of the best batsmen in the World Cup 2 years ago, and then he exited to play county cricket. And if he stays in the team right now, and I'm not saying he should be the captain of the team, but if he can just be the wicketkeeper, you add the performance against Sri Lanka, you add Brendan Taylor on top of that, all of a sudden Zimbabwe is legitimately a force to be reckoned with. Now, we saw with Bangladesh over the last couple of years, there's a big difference between one-off good performances and consistent performances. But the talent is there, and the leadership is there with Brendan Taylor hopefully coming back. So, positive signs for Zimbabwe.
Very true.
Yeah, look, definitely. Unfortunately, the thing is, this is Zimbabwe's only sort of test match, only cricket they have until March next year. That's a very, very long time to the
cricket again. March next year? They don't have any matches against...
No.
Is that Ireland? Before or after Ireland, which is amazing, historic?
Well, I mean, there's nothing scheduled right now. So hopefully things will change, and hopefully we'll get a series against Afghanistan or Ireland, which would be a great series. Talking of which, we can sort of mention that's a huge thing that's happened in cricket recently. Two new teams have added to the Test Cricket Arena. That's Ireland and Zimbabwe. Ireland and Afghanistan, sorry. So what do you guys think of this? This is going to open up a lot more cricket for each team, a lot more funding for each team, and it's a really good thing for Afghanistan, especially a country that's gone through a lot.
We actually went to the India-Ireland game in New Zealand, the World Cup 2 years ago, and to see the support that they had in that game is what makes me really happy, because I'm sure that if Ireland play more tests, there'll be a lot of support for them. And look, they have a lot of good talent. The O'Briens, I'm sure there's probably like 10 guys in the squad for O'Brien, let's be honest. But Mooney, and you know, this is really the ICC sort of showing more faith in the associate or affiliate teams. And that's how you grow. I mean, looking at any business, you got to invest in new talent. And if you don't do that, it's just going to be the same old teams again and again. And you know, the same can be said about Afghanistan, who has been a lot more of an impressive and consistent team than Ireland too. And Afghanistan deserve to be right up there with teams like Bangladesh and Pakistan, in my opinion. They just need to have those consistent opportunities.
Yeah, look, I agree. And it's full credit to the ICC here, Shanshok Manohar in particular. He's gone in there as the former head of the BCCI and shook things up. In all honesty, the boys club, we're talking about England, Australia, India. I just wanted to keep things as it is. The big three, this chunk that wasn't against the interests of cricket. And he's gone in there and unshackled that completely. And you have flow-on decisions like this. And the biggest amazing part of this is it shows a clear pathway towards the ultimate pinnacle of Test cricket, which is if you invest in your domestic structures, if you build out your team over a period of time, you can eventually make it into full member status that Ireland and Afghanistan does. And full credit to India as well, because they're supporting Afghanistan with their home ground being in Noida in Delhi,
yeah,
and
sure.
providing a lot of support, which they didn't really need to, but it's good that they're doing that. They're thinking about the bigger interest of the game. But the other thing why I really liked is your point, Gov, where we're talking about the passion of the fans, and Afghanistan's obviously had that. They've got amazing crowds, and so does Ireland. But you look into the makeup of the team, and it shows that the sport's going to be there in a few generations. It's not made out of expats, which you find in a lot of other countries and affiliate nations or associate nations, as they're now called, around the world. The Irish cricket team, yes, it'll have people from different backgrounds, but so does the Australian cricket team. So does every Indian cricket team. You know, England, for example, has probably too many of them.
Expats.
But the reality is they're there. You know, cricket's in their core, and that means it's going to be an absolutely amazing opportunity. And when we look into things like the Olympics coming up, potentially that opening up a new source of funding, a new source of countries out there. Cricket's on the path towards becoming a bigger sport, and this is a first step in that journey. You need to work through fixtures and a whole range of things, but we're in the right direction. I'm really confident of that at the moment.
What's really exciting is the thought of Ian Morgan making a return to Ireland. There hasn't been any talks or rumours about that, but Rankin and all these other players, you know, wanting to play for their home country. And even if that means them doing this later on in their career, that's an exciting prospect.
Yeah, exciting times for both those countries and both those teams. And it'd be good to, I can't wait to sort of see their first sort of series against one another. Are there any other teams that sort of are in this fringe? I think Papua New Guinea's always in the talks, and Nepal's always sort of being talked about, UAE's being talked about. And
we can't forget.
Italy, of course.
Of course. It'd be amazing if Italy...
It would be mind-blowing if Italy were to become a test-playing nation.
Well, like Paul was saying, like if you give opportunities to teams that don't have that many expats and actually have domestic local players, PNG would be a candidate. They have a very young team. They have a few good young stars that could really compete at the international level. So PNG would probably be my next big hope. Let's see how Ireland and Afghanistan fare. I hope this is not just a token opportunity just to make a headline. I hope they actually invest in Test cricket. Even if it's a one-off Test series against teams, I hope they get their calendar full of opportunities. And we'll definitely see these teams improving from that.
Definitely. PNG is actually coached by Jason Gillespie right now.
Wow. And he's an amazing coach. He's potentially a future coach for Australia. To have that talent go in there... is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think they've had a few players. Andy Bickle used to be there before. They've had a few Australians. I mean, they're pretty close by to Australia, so...
Hopefully they aren't using them to sort of steal players and bring back to Australia, you know? That'd be tragic.
But we should talk about Australia, though. The Australia...
Yeah, of course.
...is...
Huge situation with the pay. The pay dispute's going on.
It's right. It's... Normally, you think, you know, pay... players, who do you think of? The West Indian cricket team. And now we've got Australia involved. And it's a big issue at the moment where there's been a memorandum of understanding. So Australia and Cricket Australia used to have, or the players in the Cricket Australia had an arrangement in place that expired a couple of months ago. And what's happened is talks have broken down. And as of right now, Australia's, the players are unemployed. And different series are at risk. So the Australia Air Tour, for example, was cancelled. I think Ireland or Afghanistan filled in at the last minute for that. There's a Bangladesh tour of Australia that's scheduled in August, and that's in high risk. Australia's touring India in October, that's also a risk. And the Ashes, ultimately, when, you know, hopefully doesn't get to that point. But where this whole sits behind and what's causing all this is a fundamental misalignment between the two different parties. So traditionally, there was a model in place that the Australian cricket team used to get paid a certain proportion of all the revenue that Cricket Australia used to receive. It was around that sort of high 20s mark. And that's a model that came in 15 to 20 years ago. What the board is now trying to do, and this is a board that is made up of mining executives who are quite skilled in trying to break up unions, and that's been the strategy in this scenario as well, is to shift away from that model and turn the employees into just employees, pay them a set wages, pay them out of profit, which makes some sense. And in all honesty, there's a middle ground that both people can come to. And where I think the gap's been is there seems to be too many egos involved in this scenario. There's too many people involved who don't get along with each other. And the overall good of the game is starting to get lost in that. So I do hope they come to some sort of resolution. There seems to be some progress made in the last week and a half where a lot of concessions made from both sides. So hopefully the next time we're sitting here in 2 weeks' time, we realise that the Australian cricket team will be touring Bangladesh because that's a really important series for Bangladesh. Very excited to see how Bangladesh go against Australia, but also more importantly, the Ashes coming up as well. I hope that's sorted out as well.
Yeah, I hope these Australian players get paid. There's players like Warner that he has a lot of sponsorship deals. We had to go through a whole summer of sort of seeing him on TV talking about those.
You could probably get rid of that. I don't want to hear about TV. Those other TVs.
I'm sure he's paid enough for that. We had to go through that, listening to him talk about that again and again.
It's funny though, like because all the players, I'm just sidetracking a bit, but all the players have their various sponsorship arrangements, and it often becomes like a recurring point where David Warner, that example, every single time he got out early in the innings, it was almost a reference back to that TV. Yeah, could he be going home to watch it himself on his own TV? And he's got the Indian. I mean, you were in India a couple of months ago, and so many cricketers have so many ads.
Oh my God!
There's got to be some sort of ad you can use as a reference to the player.
Yeah, no. It used to be Kohli used to get out. Kohli has big Jioni phones in India, and he's taking selfies on the phone. So whenever he used to get out for a duck, I'd be like, he's got a top he's taking selfies and start playing cricket. You know.
Yeah. Was there ever a selfie of him and Anil Kumble together?
Probably not, actually. But yeah, look. That sort of sums it up for the Cricket Australia. I really hope something gets resolved soon because cricket is being impacted now in the form of Bangladesh especially, which is a team that really wants to play test cricket against Australia. It'd be a great test series for them, and if that's missed, that's really bad for both teams.
And I think Bangladesh will win that series. Big call, Gov at it again.
I think they might if Australia doesn't tour. But no, to be honest, it will be a close series. I'm actually quite excited about watching that one.
Yeah, true. Let's see what happens. Let's see who actually plays for Australia in this series. You
know, we might get caught up, right?
Yeah, we are open, but we have to get paid well, though. You know, I'm not going to play for free. So like, you know, the dispute might continue.
Right? We'll get on to our main section here. We're going to talk about India versus Sri Lanka. There's a big series coming up. 3 Test matches, 5 ODIs, and 1 T20 match. Let's sort of begin with the squad. The core pieces are the same. Murali Vijay is out. Shikhar Dhawan comes in. That's something we can debate about. Hardik Pandya is in. Rohit Sharma is in. And Karun Nair is out. Kuldeep Yadav is in the team. I think that was about it for all the main players. Otherwise, the same over Virat Kohli, Vijay Rana, Ashwin, Jadeja.
Ishan
Sharma, of course, yes. What do you guys think of this team, I guess, overall? And if there's any players you guys want to discuss?
We haven't had time for my rant segment, so I'm going to use this as my 30 seconds of ranting. Why do we have to go with these same old players? Ishan Sharma, again, there's so many good young Indian pace bowlers, not only in domestic cricket, but we've seen them bowl well in ODI cricket. Jasprit Bumrah, they got Yadav, Bhuvneshwar Kumar, Shami. Why do you need Ishan Sharma? What has he done in the past 20 years of his career to prove that he deserves
To play devil's advocate, he was almost a player of the series against the Sri Lanka tour about 2 years ago.
Okay, so he had one good series in the past 20 years, so let's give him a team. All right, so let me continue. Anyway,
go on.
The second thing about Karun Nair, I mean, I wasn't very impressed against Australia, but there were a lot of players in that series that didn't play well for India. He still has an average of 65. He has a triple century. Then you see India go back to a guy like Rohit Sharma, who you know, averages 35 after playing 25 matches. Not a very impressive record. You know, they're picking the same players again and again. I think it's not a good sign. And in a way, the fact that India keep winning their test series shows they're doing well. But if India want to keep on winning, I think they have to start investing more in the youth. And we're just not seeing that.
Yeah, look, I agree with the second one. So Karun Nair, I think, was harshly done by. Yes, he didn't take his opportunities against Australia. Yes, Rohit Sharma averaged 80 in the series before. He was injured, so he should come back into the squad. That, to me, broadly, I can get the logic behind it. But I would have really liked us to move on to Shreyas Iyer, actually, who I rate immensely. So it would have been a nice time to blood someone in the squad, potentially send him in at number 6, potentially not having the team, because I think Hardik Pandya will figure as well, potentially in this series, which I'm quite excited about. But there was an opportunity to move on from some of the older players, like Shikhar Dhawan as well. I'm not entirely opposed to him in being the team, but there was also an opportunity to look beyond him. And I guess you could argue that with Vijay injured, Lokesh Rahul coming in, and who's the other opener now? Mukund. Mukund's getting an opportunity here. There is a new person coming to the team, but it would be nice to have potentially another person blooded in as well. I wouldn't be opposed to that idea.
I just don't get why Shikha Dhawan was selected in this squad. I mean, as I was saying earlier in this episode, you know, he's been dropped four times. And, you know, I know he had a good Champions Trophy, but that's not a good enough reason to bring him back. There was a good reason why he was dropped those four times. And let's lay him out to pasture. I mean, he's a good one-day player. He's actually probably the first choice, probably second choice Indian opener in the one-day cricket. And that's okay. You know, it's like the Yuvraj Singh story from all those years ago in the test side. A guy can just be a specialist ODI cricket player. That's fine. You know, he's a great player. He's going to make runs for a long time. Doesn't mean he has to play test cricket. It's two separate formats.
Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on Mukund?
Well, you know, Mukund has been around for a long time, I guess. He debuted ages ago. Then he was never to be seen again. Very confusing all those years ago. Look, I haven't really seen much of Mukund that's impressed me so far. He didn't have a good debut. Not debut, sorry. He didn't have a good match when he played last time. And again, he got up for a first ball duck against in the practice series, which I know is practice series. But as I said again, I'm a big believer of people that take opportunities. And, you know, even with Rohit Sharma, I am actually back on Rohit Sharma because I have seen the potential and what someone like him can do. I do still think it's pretty relatively early in his career, and I don't think his record is that bad. He's sort of been shuffled in and out. He has a lot of injury concerns as well. He was in really great form before he had to unfortunately leave the team. And Karan Nair had the perfect chance then to just say, this is my spot, I'm going to take this. I'm a young player, I can take my place. And he had one unbelievable innings, and after that, just bad. Nothing over even 20 or 30. He struggled so badly, it's hard to believe he's the same player. But yeah, that's my sort of opinion. The team is good. Look, I think the core will stay the same. I'm probably on board with you guys as well. Shikha Dhawan, I'm a bit confused as to picking a player off the ODI format. But, you know, maybe they're doing it more because he's in confidence. Maybe he can get some inspiration from what he did before. But I don't totally agree that Shikha Dhawan should be in the team. But again, he's not the first choice. I think Vijay and Rahul are the first choice. Unfortunately, both of them seem to have injury concerns almost every series or the other. But overall, look, I think it'll come down to, batting-wise, it'll come down to Pujara, it'll come down to Kohli and Rane, getting probably about maybe 80% of the runs, maybe, and maybe some low-order batting with Saha and Ashwin, if they're in form. And the bowlers, of course.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Kuldeep Yadav play. Yeah. He played great in the one-day series. But
should he play? Like, I mean, you made the point that Shikha Dhawan should be in the team, which I agree with completely based on his ODI form. Kuldeep's shown nothing in Test cricket at the moment to suggest he's ahead of Jadeja and Ashwin. Yes, they've struggled in ODI cricket, Jadeja, Ashwin, but that's not to say they should be dropped in the test series. I think them two are the first choice spinners anyway.
He played two tests against Australia. He had a great debut. He had a great Ranji season before that. I think that's good enough.
Is he better than Ravi Ashwin and Rohit in test cricket? I think the answer is no.
If you look at Ravi Ashwin, he hasn't played well for the last couple of series.
I don't agree with that at all. Like, he's dominated the last few series entirely.
That's not true at all. He's been that up and down.
I think it's one of those interesting ones where I agree with you in ODI cricket. I think Ravi Ashwin, Ravi Jadeja, look beyond him into Kuldeep Yadav. He's taking that first choice mantle. Test cricket, I still think Ravi Ashwin, Jadeja deserve first opportunity at that. If at the end of the series or end of the next two series you go, they haven't performed, then Kuldeep Yadav comes in. But he's clearly, for me, third in line.
I would put Kuldeep Yadav right next to Jadeja. I'd put Ashwin third. Look, I think you could possibly play three spinners if you're playing in India. Yeah. India often bring in two pacemen. They often bring in three pacemen, and they don't even bowl one of them at the end. So the spinners are going to get the wickets, especially on spin-friendly wickets. And if you have those three together, that's a force to be reckoned with. I also hope that India start giving opportunities to Rishabh Pant. Saha has been really solid, and I think he deserves a few more opportunities. But Pant is really nipping at his heels.
I just hope Ravi Ashwin can keep his mind on the bowling and not other external affairs such as devastating events that happen. I'm a big fan of Ashwin, but sometimes he really gets on my nerves. I don't know what he does sometimes. He talks a lot, okay. And he's a very confidence-based player, so if he's doing well then he feels like he's on top of the world, but when he gets down he's just a mess. We saw that in the last
he's so talented, he's amazing. He's number two bowler now because Herat overtook number two or three test bowler.
Jadeja's number one.
All rounders, he's in the top two as well. Yeah. Like, he's just absolutely dominating test cricket, but he just needs to go back to doing the basics and he'll do an amazing job instead of constantly thinking about doing different things, trying variations.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree.
And this will be a big series for This would be a big series for Coley. He had a terrible one against Australia. And if you watch him closely, even when he's played well the past couple of years, he's just been, something's been missing a little bit with Coley. I don't know what that is. Could be a mental issue. I don't know what it is, but he has to get back into form, and he'll have an opportunity against a team that got smashed against Zimbabwe. So let's see that. Let's hope for that.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's got a lot of pressure on him as well now with after this whole... I mean, he is a villain in this whole Kumble thing. So he's sort of got that mantle. He's got a lot of pressure on him. So, you know, it'll be an interesting series. What do you guys... what are you guys predicting for the test matches?
I'm going to go India to win either 3-0 or 2-0 if there's rain in one of the test matches.
I think India will win 3-0. I think after all that criticism, I think Sri Lanka just aren't a very good test side. I think India have their number, and I expect Virat Kohli to return back to form. I just want to say as well, I've always been a big supporter of Rohit Sharma. I think he's actually a better test player than one day player long term, shown by his incredible domestic record. He averages above 60, which is absolutely amazing. It was just more of a question about, you know, why they dropped Karun Nair.
Fair comment.
Yeah, look, for the series, I guess I'm also going to go 3-0. And the impact is if rain comes, then rain comes. But yeah, look, it should be a good series. One thing, Sri Lanka are missing Chandimal, their newly appointed captain for the first test match. Rangana Herath is probably the key player for them. He's the only player with actually substantial experience at all. He's number two bowler, but I think he's someone that India could negotiate pretty well. So, quickly, what do you guys think about the Sri Lankan team before we wrap it up?
So they've got a... so obviously they're in transition as well. They're missing out on a lot of players like Dick Weller and there's Chandimal. A lot of their players in the middle seem to do okay. They've got the talent there. But for me, everything needs to go right for Sri Lanka to win that. They just beat Zimbabwe, and Zimbabwe actually, unfortunately, didn't take a lot of their chances in that game. Bowling-wise, Herath is the key, as you mentioned. I agree with that completely. And they've got a few players in there who can trouble India. But at the moment, this current Sri Lankan team, I don't think there's much that they can do to beat India, because India is a very good test unit. Like, you know, we talk about the different debates about different players, but that's because there's a whole range of talent in the Indian team you can make a legitimate argument for. Sri Lanka doesn't have that ability. India's ranked number one. Sri Lanka's ranked, I'd say, what, bottom few at the moment. It's going to be very... that'll be made very clear by the end of the series.
All I'll say about the Sri Lankan team is, I think if it was an India-Zimbabwe series, it would have been more competitive.
Oh, that's a harsh call. I don't know if I agree with that.
Sri Lankan fans, write in cricket.296 at gmail.com. Gov lives in Melbourne, Australia. No, kidding. He does, though.
Very general. Like, I don't think you find my address from that.
Yeah.
So shoot us an email. I'll shoot you his address.
Yeah. So I guess that was it from us, I guess, for this first round. Is there anything I've got to talk about?
I would say, you know, it's great to return back for season four, and we really do have big plans for this season. We'd really like to hear your thoughts and feedback through our email that Pralab keeps quoting. What was the email again, Pralab?
cricket.tonight6@gmail.com.
Yeah, well, we sort of see this. The podcast is not just about us three. It's about all of us. So if you have ideas on segments or any opinions, feedback, any trivia questions we can throw to the audience, then send them in. We have big plans. You know, we want to really, you know, start doing interviews. We want to start doing more segments. We want to bring in some guest hosts, live commentary. The possibilities are endless. And we're really excited to take that next step for season four. And, you know, really get more listens, more views, more likes, more reviews, and really take off.
Yeah, completely agree. So send us any details to that email address. And I mean, if we go back to Rohit Sharma, like, we're here to stay, right? We're like Rohit Sharma. We're like a Sharma in the Indian cricket team. There'll always be one of us around for next time. It doesn't matter if it's up. We'll always be in the team. We'll always be having this podcast series.
Yeah, we're back for good now. So I guess that's it for us today. Do we wrap up? So thanks a lot for everyone listening. Looking forward to talking again. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Cricket, tonight, tonight, night, tonight, tonight, night, cricket, tonight.
Season 4.